Okay, Hagut and Chedesh. Today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin, pretty much the halfway point in Maseches Chulin, and we are holding at the Mishnah on daf Samach Pesan Beis. And the Mishnah is going to talk about at what point Kedushas Bechar applies to a fetus. I mean, at what point during the birthing process does it have Kedusha? The Gemara is going to have a Machlokas Amurayim that actually appears in two different contexts, whether Kedushas Bechar is Mikanu Lahaba or even the Mafreya, meaning if the Kedusha happens, as the Gemara is going to suggest, when Rove of the Uber comes out, does that mean that it's already, that everything that came out previously is already Kadosh Lemafreya? Or no, only Mikana Laba, when Rove of the Uber comes out, that's when it has Kedushas Bechar. We're going to explain why we need that Machlokas to be taught to us in two different contexts. Then the Gemara is going to have a Shaila, whether we follow Rove by the emergence of Evarim. What if the majority of an Aver has emerged? Do we view that as if the entirety of the Aver has emerged in terms of Cheshbening Rove of the Uber having come out or not Rove of the Uber having come out? Then the Gemara is going to have on the bottom of Amud Aleph 10 different shailas about what type of birth constitutes a petarechem, which may or may not have ramifications for Pidyon HaBen as well, but certainly as far as Kedushas Bechor of a behema, 10 different shailas about chatzitzas in the rechem, missing rechem, detached part of the rechem, different types of shailas as far as what considers what's considered petarechem. And then the Mishnah on Beis is going to talk about the tumah status of a dead fetus inside a live mother and the possible differences in that tumah status between a behemah tumeah, a non-kosher animal, and a behemah tahora, a kosher animal. And the Gemara then at the bottom of the page is going to have a discussion of the source for the idea that a nevela of a chaya tahora is tumeah as well. We already know that a nevela of any sort of behemah is tumeah, a nevela of a chaya tumeah is tumeah, but what is the source of the nevela of a chaya tahora also has tumas nevela? So let's begin at the Mishnah on daf samach pesav beis. So says the Mishnah: Hamavakeres hamaksha leleid mechatech ever umashlich leklavin. If you have an animal giving birth for the first time, so you're allowed to cut off limb by limb as it emerges from the rechem, and you throw it to the dogs, because as long as the majority of the baby has not come out, it doesn't yet have Kedushas Bechor. Now, if it had Kedushas Bechor, you would not be allowed to throw it to the dogs. So by each Aver, as it comes out, it is not yet born, and therefore it does not yet have Kedushas Bechor, so there's no issur of throwing it to the dogs. But Yotzer Rubo, if most of it comes out at one time, and then you cut it, Hareze Yikaver, then you have to bury it, because when the majority has emerged from the rechem, it is now considered to have been born, and once it's born, it has Kedushas Bechor, and it's absolutely Asur Bahana'a. And whether it came out Ever, or whether it came out all at one time, this animal going forward now is going to be part from Bechor. So essentially we have two cases in the Mishnah. One case where one limb at a time comes out, so as long as you haven't yet reached Rove of the animal, one limb at a time comes out, so you keep throwing it to the dogs. And then the second case was the majority of the animal comes out at one time, so then it has to, you can't throw it to the dogs. But in both of those cases, any subsequent births are going to be part from Bechora. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Yotza Shlish, Umchor Lov Chavim. Let's say you have a behemah Mvakeres Leilev, it's having its firstborn, and a third of the Uber comes out at the time of the Leida, and then you sell it to an Ovid Chavim when it's one third born. Vechazav Yotza Shlish Acher, and then another third comes out, and now Rove of the Uber is out, where the Kedushas Bechor should happen, but you have already sold part of it to a guy. Now normally, in order to avoid Kedushas Bechor, you would sell the animal, the mother, before the baby is born, or part of the mother to a guy, and once a guy is a shutaf in that animal, it's no longer subject to Kedushas Bechor. So does the non-Jewish ownership that happened after it was one-third born, does that help to remove Kedushas Bechor once it's majority born? So Rav Huna Omar Kadosh. No, it does not help. It is Kadosh Bechora, even though it was already sold to an Achri before Rove came out. Rabba Amar Eino Kadosh. Rabbi said it did help to sell it to Menachri. It does not have Kedushas Bechor. What's the svara for each one? Rav Huna Amar Kadosh Kasavr L'Mafreya Kadosh. Rav Huna says it's Kadosh because even though Kedushas Bechor only happens at the Leda, which is when Rove of the baby comes out, but once Rove of the baby comes out, it's considered to be Yalud, and L'Mafreya, the Kedushas Bechor is already Chal L'Mafreya from when the birth had begun. Once the rove of this ubar came out, and we know that it's right for Kedushas Bechor, so then it's the igloi milsul mafreya that as it began to emerge, it was already kadosh, and therefore the fact that you sold it to a guy doesn't help at all because the Kedushas Bechor was already there, as it turns out. Meaning the mafreya, the Kedushas Bechor is already there, and once the Kedushas Bechor is already there, at that point it's already too late to sell it to a guy. Different shittos in terms of what exactly that means, that l'mafreya it's kadosh. Rashi and Tosfos seem to understand just straightforward that the kedusha is chal l'mafreya, and therefore the mechira is absolutely batal. And like the Marsha explains in Tosfos as well, that even though you're not allowed to be matal mum b'bechar even before the rov comes out, because once rov comes out, it's going to be mispar l'mafreya that you violate an isser. But when you're mechatech, you're mashal k'lavim, and that's okay because when you're mechatech, you're mashal k'lavim, it doesn't yet have kedusha. And when the robe comes out and it turns out that it does have Kedusha, it's not there anymore. The miyud isn't there because it's already been mashal k'lavim. Chaznish, however, says that the entire Indian of Mafreya is not real mamish Kedusha. It just means that since when some of it comes out, there's already a mitzvah s'bechorah, you're not allowed to be mafkia the mitzvah and sell it to a guy. Meaning the mitzvah s'bechorah is already in the picture when the leida begins. So since the mitzvah b'chorah is already present when the leida begins, so even though it's not yet born, but the mitzvah b'chorah is there, and that's why you're not allowed to try to uproot and try to remove the mitzvah b'chorah. But all of that is the shita of Rav Huna, who says that it is kadosh. Rabba Amar Eino kadosh. Rabba is going to say that it's not kadosh. Why? Kasav mikanu lahaba kadosh. The chalos of the kedusha when rov of the baby emerges is only from then on, from the moment that Rove emerges and forward. So that fact that whatever you sold is a valid mechira, and since part of this animal is owned by a guy, it's no longer eligible for Kedushas Bechora, because that's a Mishnah Maseches Bechora, that any time an animal is partially owned by a Jew and partially owned by a non-Jew, it is not subject to Kedushas Bechora, because the Pasuk says, Ki li kol bechor biyom ha-kozik kol bechor b'eretz Mitzrayim. So Chazal Darshan that Yisrael v'lo v'acherim, that even a shutbus of an achri is going to pater you. So va'azulut hamayim says the Gemara, this machlokas between Rabba and Rav Huna, where the kedusha b'chor is only mikanu lahaba, or it's even the mafreya, is a machlokas that appears elsewhere as well. The itmar yotza shlish derech dofen. What if one third of the ubar comes out derech dofen through ripping open the animal's stomach, meaning a yotzei dofen, a C-section. Ushnei shlishei derech rechem. And then two-thirds of the fetus come out in the derech rechem, through the rechem. Rav Huna amar eino kadosh. Rav Huna says it is not kadosh, Rabba amar kadosh. Why? Rav Huna amar eino kadosh, Rav Huna l'tamei. Rav Huna says it doesn't have kadosh b'char for because he's l'shitasav. Da amar l'mafreya kadosh. That when rove of the ubar comes out, now we go back to the beginning of the leida, and that's when the kedusha is chal. So veruba kama leisei berechem. When the first rove of the ubar that comes out didn't come derech harechem, because that's the gorim of the chiyuv bechor. It came out through derech dofen, which would pater you from bechor. So since the mafreya the kedusha is chal, it means the zman chiyuv of bechor begins at the very beginning of the leida. So you look at the first 51% of the animal that came out. If from that first 51%, the majority of it came out derech dofen and not derech leida, so there's no kedushas bechor. But Rabba amar kadosh, because Rabba l'tamei dom mikan laba kadosh. Rabba goes l'shitaso that the kedusha is not chal mafreya; it's only mikan laba. So veruba derech rechem nafik. You look at the entirety of the birth, and if the majority of the animal came out derech rechem, now you don't look at the first 51%. The entirety of the birth. So if the majority came out derech rechem, it has kedushas bechor. davar. So says Gemara, okay, so if both of these machlokas between Rav and Rav Huna are hinge on the same issue of whether Kedusha Schal and Mafreya or Mikan and Laba, why do I need to be told the machlokas in both places? Utsricha. Diashmin Baha, if we only would have told the machlokas in the case of, in our case of selling it to the guy, so I would say, yeah, Bahakam Rav Huna, Mishum de Lukula. I would say that's where Rav Huna says that Mafreya it's Kodesh, because then it's a Kula, that it doesn't have Kedusha. So Rav Huna is, because if you'd say Mikan Lava Kodesh, it would be a Kula that it's not Kodesh, so Rav Huna's Machmir Mafreya it's Kodesh. Aval Bahak, but in the case of Shlish Derech Dofen, and then two-thirds of it Derech Rechem, de Lukumra, where it would be a Chumra if you would say Mikanu Laba Kadosh, because then it would be Kadosh, Ema Modi Le Rabba. I might think that Rav Huna's Moda to Rabba, that Mikanu Laba, it should be Kadosh in order to be Machmir. So that's why Rav Huna has to tell me that Mafreya is Kadosh, even in a situation of one-third of it coming out Derech Dofen, where it's going to turn out to be a Kula, that it's not Kadosh. Meaning, I would have thought that Rav Huna said his whole bin, even though we're using the word the Kula, what we really mean is just to be Machmir. So that's why Kamash Milan, that no, he's telling me his bin, Bein Lukula, and the Yitmar Baha, and if we only would have had the Machlokas in the case of Yatza Shlush Derech Dofen and two-thirds came out Derech Rechem, I would say Baha Kama Rabba, that it's Dafka in that case that Rabba's Machmir, that Mikanu Labba is Kadosh, and therefore the Uber is Kadosh, Ava Baha, but in the case where you sold it to an Akri, Eim Modi El Rafuna, I might think that Rabba would be Modi to Rafuna, that Lemafreya is Kadosh, in order to be Machmir, so Tricha, that's why that's telling me that no, Rabba holds his din also, Bein Lekul Tanan, so the Gemara asks from our Mishnah on Rav Huna. Tanan, we have our Mishnah said as follows. Hamavakeres, hamkashalelev, mechatech, ever, ever, umashlich leklavim. That a behemoth is giving birth to its firstborn, so you cut off limb by limb and throw it to the dogs. My lav, mechatech, meniach. Doesn't the Mishnah sound like you're cutting off one ever at a time, leaving it there until rova, the blood, comes out, and still you're allowed to throw those pieces to the dogs? As the piece that came out prior to the emergence of the rove, you're allowed to throw them to the dog even though they're still sitting around, and because the vlad doesn't have kedushas pechora, and that's a kasha Rav Huna, because I understand very well if you say that Mikanu Laba is Kadosh, so whatever came out before the rove had come out doesn't have any Kedusha, so you could throw that to the dog. But Iyamit L'mafreya Kadosh, but if you say that it's Kadosh L'mafreya, so when the rove comes out, it's Huvar Adav L'mafreya, that all of it is Kadosh, you cover me by your leg, you shouldn't be allowed to throw it to the dog, every piece that came out, L'chora is Kedushas B'chora. So it says, Mar Lo, Hachem Ha'eskin M'chatech U'mashlich. Now the case is not that you leave it there and let it sit around until the rove comes out and then throw whatever came out before the rove emerged to the dog. No, it's piece by piece. As you remove them, you throw them to the dog. Av mechatech meniach mai, but what would be the din if you were mechatech meniach, if you cut off limb by limb and left it there, you cover, ain't a chinami, that would have kedusha. But if that's the case, adetana sefer, when the sefer wanted to distinguish between the case of the reisha and a different case, so the sefer the sefer said, yatsa rubo yikaver, that if rove of the animal comes out at once, you bury it. The niftara min ha-bechor, it's potter from bechor going forward. Liflug listen to today, but why didn't we contrast it within the case that we were talking about, where you cut off eiver eiver? And why didn't we say, b'med varim amurim b'mechadik mashach eiver eiver? When can you throw out, when can you throw limb by limb to the dogs? That's only if you're cutting eiver eiver, and as they're coming out, you're immediately throwing them to the dogs. Av mechadik meniach yikaver, the Mishnah should have contrasted that with being where you cut off eiver eiver and leave it there until the rove comes out, and that you're not allowed to throw to the dogs. Why didn't the Mishnah give that case? Says Mar, it did. Hachinami kamer. It's exactly what the Mishnah meant to say. Bamed var mamurim b'mechatech mashlich. That the only time you're allowed to throw to the dogs is if you cut off piece by piece and you throw to the dogs. Am mechatech meniach nasa kemishiyat rubo v'yikaver. But if you're mechatech meniach, if you cut off piece by piece and you leave it there until the majority comes out, that's the same as Yotza Rubo, Bibasachas, that all that the rove comes out at one time, where it has Kiddush Bukharin, you are definitely not allowed to throw it to the dog in that case, and in that case you would have to bury it. This may be the source of a psak in the Rambam, this sugya. The Rambam Paskins in the first parak of Hilchos Bukharis says, it's mitzvah saseh, to be mafresh kol pet arechem ha-zacharim, bein ba'adam, bein b'vehem ha-torah, bein mimin ha-chamor, bein shayu shleimim, bein shayu trefos. The Rambam says that the din of Bukhar applies even if the fetus is a trefa. So Kesem Mishnah doesn't bring a marker for the Rambam that a Bukhar behema trefa is kadosh with Kedushas Bukhara. Where does he get it from? So Nahagos Yad Eson says, quotes a number of Mepharshim that say that the source of the Rambam is from a Gemara much later in this Masechta, on Kuflam Vavam Beis, that according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no mitzvah of Rashis Hagaz on a trefa, because he learns the Gzer Shav of Tzon Tzon from Meister Behema. So the Gemara says, why don't you learn Gzer Shav from Bukhar, that just like Bukhar is knowing Betrefa, so too it should be knowing by Reish Sagez. So you see in the Gemara that Bukhar of Betrefa is Kadosh. That's the source that many of the Achronim point to. But in the Nimuke Chaim, in our goes to the Nimuke Chaim on the Rambam, he writes that really it's the Farish in our Gemara. Because the Mishnah said that in Vakeris, Amakasha Lele, Yechotech Me Uber Ever Ever Achiete Rubo. And Rav Huno, who the Rambam Paskins like in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Bukharos, says that even if you're Chatach Rubo and the Evarim are still are right in front of us, it's in Skadish B'Kedushas Bukhara and it's going to require Kavura. Now, is there a greater trefa than that, that Rova the Behema has been cut up and nevertheless it's Kadosh with Kedushas Bukhara, that it's still going to require Kavura? So that's a very strong raya to the Shitas HaRambam that a trefa animal also has Kedushas Bukhara, because obviously once you've chopped off piece by piece to the point that you have Rov, so obviously it's going to have Kedushas Bechorah. The Chaznish just points out it's even more pashut, that a trefa is Kadosh Bechorah, because even if a behemah is Mapil and Eifel, it's Kadosh Bechorah. That's Beferish and Maseches Bechorah. So a trefa is for sure Kadosh with Kedushas Bechorah. Okay, now a new issue. Says the Gemara, what about Rov Eiver, the majority of a single limb that comes out? Do we now view that as if the entire limb has emerged? So by Rava, Holchu Be'Ivar Nacharov, Olo Holchu Be'Ivar. Do we follow Rov when it comes to Evarim as well, or only when it comes to the animal, to the entirety of the animal? Hey Chidami, well, what exactly are you asking? What's the case that we're asking about? Ilim Goshiyatza Rov Bimilt Eiver. If you tell me that the majority of the baby has actually emerged, but part of that majority is a miut of a particular Eiver. So maybe the Kamibayle in your Shaila is High Miut of Rai, that miut of the particular Eiver, Basa Rube De Eiver Shadin Alei, should we say it's considered as if it has not yet emerged and is still with the majority of that Eiver? Let's say one of its legs is 2% out or 10% out of that leg. Yeah, but only because of that 10% you have rove of the animal out. So do you say that that it's still rove of the animal is out, or do you say no, that 10% that has emerged, it's as if it's still inside because the rove of that Aver is still inside? Or do we say no, you look at the rove of the Uber and the rove of the Uber is out, and I don't care if the rove of the, if that rove is only gotten by certain Avarim that are only miut that are out. So it says in our Pshit, the Losh of Kin and Rubu the Ubar, Falzin Basar Rov Eiver. That wouldn't be a Shaila at all. There's no way that we would look at Rov Eiver rather than looking at Rov of the Ubar, Rov of the entirety of the animal. Elok Yigon Shiyatza Chetzio B'Rov Eiver. Now the case must be that exactly 50% of the animal has emerged, but there's rove of a particular Aver that's out, and if you were to follow that rove and consider the miut that's still inside as if it's out, that will put you over the top and tell you that you now have rove of the behema that's out. So the kamibayle hahu miut the begavoi, that miut of that one Aver that has the majority out, that miut that's still inside, mal mishti basar rove Aver. Can you say that that's considered to be together with the majority of the Aver that's already emerged, and you therefore now have a halachically the emergence of the rove of the animal, and now you have Kedushas Bechar? Or do we not, are we not mitzdaif the miut Aver shebifnim to the rove rov ever shabachutz, to consider it that rov of the ubar is already out, because maybe you really need actually rov of the ubar to be out, and 50% is not enough. You need 51%. So tashma says Gemara, we can bring a raya. Yatsa rubo hareza yikaver, that if the rov comes out, so then you bury it. So my rubo, what does it mean that? So what does the Mishnah mean when it says rov comes out? Ilim rubo mamish. If we're talking about that the rov of the ubar comes out all at one time, and the Mishnah is telling me that you should consider that to be already born when the rov comes out, so that's obvious. Ad hashalosh, meaning the rubo kukulo. What, have we never heard of the din of rubo kukulo until you came up with this chaf? No, elulav kizon sheyatzo chetzio. It must be that the case of the Mishnah is that half of the ubar has emerged, birov eder, but that half is only achieved, is partially achieved by rov of an eder that has emerged, and there's still miut of that eder that's mibifnim, and we're saying that the uber is kadosh with kedushas bechar. So you see clearly from our Mishnah that you can count the miut that's bifnim together with the rov eder that's bechutz in order to be mashlim the rov uber. Says Gemara, lo, that's not true. We do not follow the rov when it comes to evarim. The miut of the Aver that's inside does not follow the rov that's outside. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The case of the Mishnah is kizon sheyatzo rubo b'miut Aver, that the majority of the Ubar has emerged with the miut of the Aver of one of the Avarim that has emerged. And that miut is mashlim to the rov of the Ubar. So come mashmalan, and it's coming to the Mishnah is coming to tell me this very idea of Zalo Shafkin Rubo du Ubar, the Behema Vazlin and Basar Aver. That you don't look at that aver as if it's still inside the animal because the majority of it's still inside, because the majority of the entire animal is outside. That when you're trying to figure out, should I look at the majority of the animal or should I look at the majority of this limb? So it's that's gufa, the chiddush of the Mishnah, that you look at the majority of the animal and not the majority of the limb. Tosa Rush already asked the question. The Gemara previously assumed that was a davar pashut, right? The Gemara previously said that a pshita dilo shafkina rubadu uba. And now we're saying that that's the entire chiddush of the Mishnah, that we're not shafkin and rubu du ubar and follow the rov of the Aver. So Tosfos Rosh says that even though you're right, it's not the greatest chiddush in the world, but since the Tana isn't being marich the dvarim to mechadish this din, you could say that that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach me, and not every line in every Mishnah has to be the greatest chiddush in the world. So it could be that's the halacha it's teaching me, even though it's not the greatest chiddush in the world. Some of the Achronim are not so pleased with that answer. They try to come up with other answers of why it is that in one line the Gemara assumes it's not a Chiddush at all, and in the next line the Gemara assumes that this is something that the Mishnah had to teach me. But what the Gemara definitely assumes is a Davar Pashut is Rubo Kekulo, right? The Gemara said, why, you need a Mishnah to tell me the din of Rubo Kekulo? Of course I know Rubo Kekulo. I know that all over Shas. There's a major discussion in the Achronim. There have to be limits on Rubo Kekulo, because we don't always say Rubo Kekulo. For example, a person has a chiv to eat a kezayis matzah. So we don't say if you eat rov kezayis, it's as if you ate kol kezayis. You have to eat the entire kezayis matzah. Someone goes to the mitzvah is a shir of arba'im sa'ah. So you don't say, okay, 21 sa'ah is good enough too, because it's rubo kekulo. No, you need arba'im sa'ah. And if it's chasu kortav, if it's missing just a little bit, it's going to be pasul. So the Chassam Sofer talks about this in the tshuva that he wrote to Rav Shlomo Kluger. And he says, rubo kekulo is only there when the rov and the miyut are both right in front of us, and there's something that connects them to each other, so then we say we follow the rov. Like by a Sanhedrin, that's the source of the din of Rubo Kekulo. They're all sitting together, they're being done the case, we follow the rov. But if only rov of the Sanhedrin is there, then you don't follow the rov, right? Meaning if you don't have all 23 judges there, you just have 12, 13 judges there, so you don't say, no, we follow the rov of the Dayanim. So, or for example, when it comes to saying Kedusha, right, so there are 10 people in the room, or starting Chazar Sashat, so post them say, you can start with 7 maybe, look, Havchila, certainly you wait for 10, but in a Shas of Chak or something, you're going to lose the minion or something. So you start with 7, but what if there are only 7 people there? So then certainly you don't say Rubo Kekulo. It's only when everything is there and you're trying to be mitzaref, whatever is there. So Shlomo Kluger didn't like that answer that Chassam Sofer gave him. And Shlomo Kluger writes that if that were the case, if you put a full kezayis of matzah in your mouth, swallowed a majority of it, and then spit out the rest, then that would also be good enough because it's all there. You have a kazayas there, it's all connected in some way, and then you're just swallowing a majority of it. So that's why he didn't like that answer. So they quote from Rav Chaim, Rav Zelig Bengis, who was the gaivit of the Eidah Charedis in the times of Rav Kook, quotes from Rav Chaim that it's not shaykh, it's only shaykh Ruba Kukulo when there's a davar mesuyam, when there's something that is clearly defined, the simanim of the animal that requires shechita. So there is a davar shalem right there, the simanim are a davar shalem, yeshech rov simanim rubo kukulo. That's as if you shechted the entire simen. Beis din is defined by a certain number. But a kazayis matzah is just a kamus. It's just a quantity. It's not a definition of matzah. Meaning matzah couldn't come in one kazayis, 10 kazayis, and find it. But it's not a definition of a davar shalem. And you don't say rubo kukulo when you're not dealing with a davar shalem. There's a tshuva in the Kleisenberg in the Divrei Tziv where he discusses what happens if you have large parshios in your tefillin that are too big for the bottom. So the bottom of the parshios dip into the titura, into the bottom section of the tefillin. Do you say rubo kukulo? Yeah, the parshios have to be in the bottom, but you have rub of it in the bottom. So Kleisenberg thinks that you don't say rubo kukulo in such a case. He says that when the Torah says a shir b'derech tzivoy, like eating a kazayis of matzah or an iser achila, we don't say the din of rubo kukulo. The shir we only say the rubo kukulo when the shir is only a tanai. Like a bechor needs hotzah merechem imo, so then you say rubo kukulo. That you don't need the miut, the tanai is fulfilled of having hotzah merechem, even with only rov of it. So that's how the Kleisenberg understands the limitations of rubo kukulo. But there's got to be some limitation. Okay, says the Gemara as follows. Now, 10 different shilas about a different forms of leida, different types of leida that may take away the status of petarechem. So, bayi rava. Krachel besiv. What if you mahu? What if you wrap the ubar before it comes out in a sieve in parts of the outer part of a dekel tree, and therefore when it's coming out, there's something being mafsik between the rechem and the fetus. Or betaliso mahu. You take your talus and you wrap it around the baby inside, and then you pull it out with again something being mafsik between the rechem and the baby. Bishliyaso mahu. What if you wrap it in its own shilia? So it says in our bishliyaso orchehi. Wait, that's how babies are born. That can't possibly be mafsik, right? The baby comes out and it's all wet, right? So maybe that wetness is mafsik between. No, that's how babies are born. Ela bishliya acheres mahu. No, what if you take the shilia of another animal and you wrap it around that baby? So then what's the and it comes out that way? What's the din? Or karochato ve'achazato votiato mahu. What if you wrap it and you stick your hand in and you grab it and you take it out with your hands and your hands are being chotzeit between the baby and the rechem. So is that considered a chatzitza? Hey chidami, so says Gemara, what stage of leida are we talking about where you wrap it in all of these things, whether it be in the sieve, in the talus, in the shilya, in your yadayim, where you're creating the tzavtzik? Even enough of derech reshe, if the baby's coming out head first and after the rosh has already emerged, that's when you wrap it up. Petarte, well, it already had petarechem because the rosh emerges, that's the petarechem. Ella did nafak derech margalosov. It must be that it's going out backwards. It's going out feet first, and before the majority comes out, you are machnis your yad or your talus or whatever to wrap up the fetus. So then the uber comes out from the rechem when it's already wrapped up. So that's the suffix. Do we consider that a chatzitza or do we not consider that a chatzitza? This is very nogea. Halacha lemaisa, they talk about they use, what are they called, forceps, where the claws or something, where they take the baby out. Does that create, now they don't claw the baby's head and pull the baby out, they open the rechem, but that also might create a chatzitza in the rechem. So the question is, so now does that baby require pidyon haben if a baby is born in that way? So that's a major discussion in the poskim. Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva in Yeridea, Chelek Gimel, Simon Kuf Chafei, that you can't learn at all from our sugya anything about Bechar Adam. That there's a big difference between Bechar Behema and Bechar Adam. The whole suffix in our sugya is about Bechar Behema, where Bechar Behema is a dinim about the goof of the Behema, where it's only where those dinim only are already chal at the moment of Leda. A Bechar Adam doesn't have any din that's chal right away at the moment of Leda. The five slime you give to the Kohen, that's 30 days later. So that's not there at the Gemara Leda, that's only a month later. So even though you need it to be Peta Rechem, and it's Mestaver that it's not because the Rechem makes the Chiyuv, but there are two things that need to happen in order for the Chiyuv of Chamesh Shlaim to be Chal. You need Rechem, and you need Yom HaShloshim, but the Chiyuv is only on the Yom HaShloshim, and that's only when it's Peta Rechem, but not by other Vlados. So being considered Peta Rechem for that is not Talui on the Negia of the Rechem, it's Talui on Leda Derech Rechem. Whereas by the animal, where the Kedusha is happening at the moment of the Leda, so it's all about being it's all about the Rechem that's being Makadish, so maybe over there's a din of Negia for Rechem. Rav Sturmbach writes in the first Chelech of Chubas Van Hagos that a Bechor Adam that doesn't have Kedusha, the Rechem is not Makadish, it's the Leda that's Makadish. So even if it comes out with chatzitza, it's considered a leda. And he said that he mentioned this to the Brisker Rav, and he also assumed that there's no din of chatzitza over here. He said that they asked the Chabina Rav as well, also assumed that when it comes to a human baby, there's not going to be a din of chatzitza in that regard. So the Gemara asks, weiter now, bilas of chulda, let's say a chulda swallowed the ubar while it was still b'mei imo, Siato, and then it expelled it. Mahu, what's the din? Hotiatu, ha pikte. What do you mean? When it was balua, if it then spit it out of its mouth, so it went out without ever touching the rechem. So that's like the same stuff like we had before. What's the shaila? Elo blatu votiatu vichnisato vikiatu viyatsa me'elav mahu. No. What happened is the chulda sticks its head inside the rechem, swallows the ubar, sticks its head back in the rechem, spits the ubar back out into the rechem, and then the ubar is born. That's the shaila. Probably doesn't happen every day, but that's the shaila, when that's considered peta rechem. Hidbik shnei rechamim v'yatsa mizeh v'nichnas l'zeh. Let's say two behemos put their rechamim right up against each other, and the baby emerges from one and jumps right in to the other one, and then so mahu, what's the din then when it emerges from the second one? Is that a bechor? Didei patar delav didei lo patar odilma delav didei nami patar. Do we assume that only its own mother's rechem is going to patar from bechora, but another mother's rechem is not? Or do we say that no, even delav didei is also not patar from bechora, is also considered a peta rechem, and therefore if it gives birth to another animal, it's not going to be kadosh because it already had a peta rechem. So the Gemara doesn't resolve this teku, leaves it as a teku. So this is an interesting shaila. You would think that this never happens, but this is the basis for the idea of the incubator. Is an incubator considered to be, if you're assuming that you can be done, Pidyon HaBen over here as well, with these shaylas at least, so there's a machlokes haposkim. How do you count the 30 days from the incubator? When do you consider the birth? Because what the incubator is doing is it's creating an extension of the rechem, of the rechem experience. So it's not right. It comes out. It doesn't go directly. So in the Sefer Torah Hayoledes, he says, you know, very similar to what we have in our sugya of Hidbik Shnei Rechamim, and it goes from one into the other. And the Sefer Torah Hayoledes was written by Rav Zilberstein many, many years ago. I think it was his first Sefer. So now he has like 100, but that was, I think, his first Sefer was a basic Sefer about the halachas of Hayoledes. Anyway, so in that Sefer, he quotes from Rav Yashiv that the baby that's in an incubator and dies, you count the shloshim yom from the leda, and you chayev to be mesabel on him if he dies afterwards. And waiting in the incubator is not considered a continuation of the pregnancy. It's just like a refuah. It's like any other refuah that you would do. In the Sefer Otzer Pidyon HaBen, he writes in the name of Shlomo Zalman that if they put the baby into the incubator, it depends why they put him in. If he was just small or he wasn't healthy, but he was mevushal kol tzarcho, so to speak, so then you'd be poda him on the 31st day after the Leda, and you're not choshesh that he's Nefel. But if he's not Nigmar Bishulo, and he needs more time to incubate, then you're po to him, Lachar Shloshim Yom, from when he leaves the incubator, because that's considered to be the continuation of the pregnancy almost. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Vayravacha, Niftuchu Kosli Beit HaRechem Mahu. What if the walls of the Rechem open up so wide that the baby's not touching the walls of the Rechem? Avi Rechem Makdish, Ve'ika Udilma Negias Rechem Makacha Valeka. Is it the airspace of the Rechem that's Makdish, where it is coming through the airspace, or is it the actual touching of the Rechem that's Makdish, where it's not? Vayimar Baravashi, Nekru Kosli Beit HaRechem Mahu. What's the din if the Kosli Beit HaRechem are uprooted? Nekru, a lesson. What do you mean they're uprooted? They're not there. Then you don't have a Rechem. Ela Nekru B'talu Le'Bitavari. No, they're misplaced. They're removed from their normal location. My, v'mekomen mekachi shlovim mekomen lo mekachi, odilma shlovim mekomen nami mekachi. Are they mekadish in such a way? Boy, v'nei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira. Nigmamu kosle beis arechem. If some of the thickness of the kosle beis arechem is gone, mahu. Amalei konagata b'vayidi b'ayilan. Oh, you're touching on a shayla that we've already discussed. B'vayi Rabbi Zeira v'amilam boy v'nei Rabbi Zeira me Rabbi Asi. Omid merubah laparitz. Let's say the miyut of the kosei rechem are gone, but the rove is still there. The yatsa derech paritz, but it came out through the part that was missing, or paritz merubah lomid. You have the majority is missing, but the yatsa derech omid. The baby came out through the part that was there. My, what's the din? Sad kal novi bayle ella paritz merubah lomid diika omid ba'olam. Aval nigmu lo kami bayle. The whole shaila was when there's still omid ba'olam and it came out through the derech omid. So there's a svar to say that that chelik of the rechem that's still there is going to be mekadesh, but if it's missing from the thickness of the defunos of the entire rechem, where no part of it is bishleimuso, no part of it is intact, that was never a shaila. That would be pashut that it would not have kedushas bechor. Okay, new mishnah says the mishnah behema shemes uber betoch me'eha. If you have a behema that the uber died inside of the mother, v'hoshet aro. The other of a nagabo, the roa sticks his hand in and he touches the dead uber. The roa is going to be tahar, even if whether it's a kosher animal or non-kosher animal. No, only if it's a kosher animal is he tahar, but if it's a non-kosher animal, then he is tamei by touching the dead fetus. So my time in Tanakama, why does Tanakama think that you're not tamei at all? Amar chisa kavukomer imo ila imalati robachila. If the shechita of a mother could be matir the fetus ba'achila, you find a fetus inside the mother, you're allowed to eat it. Lo tawilo l'tuura midei nevela. Does the mother not help to be matar midei nevela? The mother's definitely not tamei as a nevela. The mother's alive. So ashkan behema torah behema tamei minala. Good. So that's by behema torah where you have such a din that the shechita of the mother's matir the fetus. But what about a behema tamei? So amar kra, because the pasuk says when it comes to tumas nevela, the chiyomus mina behema. Zo behema tmeya, asher hilacham liachla, zo behema Torah. Se iskish behema tmeya, le behema Torah. The pasuk itself links a behema tmeya and a behema Torah. Ma behema Torah ubra tahar, a behema tmeya ubra tahar. That by behema tmeya, we see the dead ubar is also considered to be tahar as long as it's inside. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, my time. Why does Rabbi Yossi Aglili hold that the ubar and the behema tmeya is tamei? Am Rabbi Yitzchak Tamar Krav, v'kol holich al kapav, v'kol achaya ha'olechas. Mahalche kafayim b'chay. I was metame with mahalche kapayim inside a living animal, an uber that's inside a behemoth meya, which has tumas nevela, is metame. Elameata, if that's the case, then kolutz bimei para. If you have a fetus that doesn't have split hooves inside of a para litame, the mahalche kapayim b'chayahu, it's also mahalche kapayim b'chaya. Says more, mahalche kapayim b'mahalche arba, v'hai mahalche arba b'mahalche shmonahu. No. An animal that doesn't have split hooves, that's a fetus, is metame when it's inside another animal that also doesn't have split hooves. But if it's inside an animal that does have split hooves, it will not be metame. Okay, para bime gamal lo tadame. Then a cow inside of a gamal should not be metame. D'malchei shmona b'malchei arbahu. Because it's not mahalchei arba b'malchei arba, it's mahalchei shmona b'malchei arba. We call that 8 feet when it has split hooves. So holich v'kola lich v'rabos para bime gamal. Special drasha to include a para bime gamal. Okay, okay, kolut b'mei kluta. You have kolut inside of a kluta. So both animals don't have split hooves. L'tameh, it should be tameh, d'malchei arba b'malchei arba hu. So the Gemara, l'hachi ani kal v'chomer, d'rav chista. That's where Rav Chista's kal v'chomer comes into place. That since the mother is certainly tahora, and the shechit is matir b'achila, kal v'chomer, that the mechitzos of the mother are going to be matari midei nevela. Maske for Rav Achdavoy Barami, chazir b'mei chazir to lo l'tameh, a chazir inside of a chazir should not be matami d'malchishmonu, because it's got split hooves. Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchok mehacha. No, we have to have a different drasha. Nefesh shartigo b'chol davar tameh, b'nivlas chayi tameh, b'nivlas fehima tameh, b'nivlas sharet tameh, the pasuk says, v'chi nivlas fehima tameh, metamu v'tora lo metama. So it's a nivela of a behima tameh, metameh, but a nivela of a behima tora is not metameh. Ela eze, ze ubar, shebmei tameh tameh, b'tora tar, must be referring to an ubar, that if it's in a tameh, it's tameh, if it's in a tahora, it is tahor. Umeach et inafkale, mid Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Rav Yitzchok lamali. Once I'm using Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok's drasha, what do I do with Rabbi Yitzchok's with the first drasha, Rabbi Yitzchok's drasha? He loved the Rabbi Yitzchok. Had I not had Rabbi Yitzchok's drasha, have a mina kule l'chad Rabbi Yudasi. I would have thought that the entire pasuk is coming to teach us the drasha we're going to learn tomorrow from Rabbi Kamash Mula, and that's why Rabbi Yitzchok has to tell me from the pasuk called Holicha Kalpav b'chalachaya olecha salar b'tmei lechem that ubrim are mahalchi kapayim inside the chaya are tameh, and we don't compare an uber of behemah tameh to an uber of behemah tahora, but you can't learn a chazir b'mei chazira because it's mafras parsa. So that's why we need an additional drasha of Rav Nachman Yitzchok to tell me even that case, to tell me this din that about all minim tameim that there's going to be tumas nevela when there's a dead fetus inside the mother. Okay, we'll stop there.